doesn't.
Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento and a scary neighborhood somewhere on the central coast of California, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and our special guest Hooter J. Esquire. And right now, from somewhere in the middle of my cheap IKEA couch, it's me. It's Nate Darling. Hi, everybody.
You're very centrally located today.
I know. Larry is doing Larry things. He's getting ready to head off to London for the Olympics. So sitting in this week is my friend and co-host of the On Demand Super Show, Hooter J. Esquire. Hello, sir.
Hello. I'm honored to be in the presence of Mel.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, we all feel that way normally.
It's neat because we can see you on the computer.
This is how we do the Super Show every weekend, too, except in the third box, there's a strange fellow from Albany, New York.
Oh, right, right.
I won't tell you about Albany, New York, because people get upset when I do. The truth is out there in Albany, New York.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Coming up today on the show, we've got stuff from all over America. We've got some weird stuff from Ohio. We've got ice cream truck news from Arizona and New York. We've got a poo story from California. It's true.
I love poo.
A poo story.
I love poo stories.
Well, we have one of those, one you didn't think we would have. But we are going to kick it all off. Let me just stop this music here.
With me talking about how, once again, I made us go late because I went to the theater.
What'd you see?
I saw The Music Man.
I love The Music Man.
Not only did I see The Music Man, but I saw The Music Man with Shirley Jones, who was the original Marion the Librarian in the movie. Mm-hmm. She was playing now her mother, the mother's character of Marion, and then her son, Patrick Cassidy, was playing Harold Hill. And they sang together at the end and talked to the audience and talked about how she was pregnant with him when they did the kissing scene on the footbridge in the movie. And
awesome.
I almost cried.
Me too. I almost cried just there.
Whatever. Suck it.
I actually watched that movie while I was driving to California when I moved out here, because I love driving distractedly. Through Nebraska, actually.
It's a good movie.
In Nebraska, what are you going to hit in Nebraska, really? Honestly. I mean, is there anything to hit?
No.
Okay.
It had Ron Howard in it.
Okay.
Yes, it did.
He was Winthrop.
Wow. Check those plosives out on Mel.
He had a lisp in the movie.
All right. We're going to start right now. Of course, last week we talked about the tragedy in Colorado, and from tragedy comes humor sometimes. Dane Cook, the first person to break out a joke publicly, although it was recorded on a camera phone and posted on the internet, so I don't think he necessarily intended for it to go public, but let's take a listen to Dane Cook's joke about the Colorado tragedy.
So I heard that the guy came into the theater about 25 minutes into the movie. I don't know if you've seen the movie. The movie's pretty much a piece of crap. And, spoiler alert. And I know that if, you know, none of that had happened, I'm pretty sure that somebody in that theater about 25 minutes in realizing it was a piece of crap probably was like, oh, fucking shoot me. Okay, I gotta be honest. I coaxed you a little with the pantomime.
Okay, now I confess, I laugh every time I hear that joke. It's inappropriate, it's insensitive, but I found it funny. Mel, what did you think?
Okay, here's the thing. First of all, was anybody else but Dane Cook, I'd give him a total pass, but I think he's such a tool and douchebag that, just because it's him, but he's a comedian. He's not a political analyst. He's not a news person. He's a comedian. That's what they do. They tell off-color, tasteless jokes. And yes, sometimes we go too soon and whatever. Sorry, everyone's going to have their own sensitivity meter. He's a comedian. He was doing his fucking job. Chill.
In a comedy club, and it was recorded by somebody else. I will say this. If he's out there on The Tonight Show or Jimmy Kimmel Live or Jimmy Fallon, and he rolls that out to a national audience, then I'll go, okay, that's too much too soon, dude. But the question's being posed, did he cross the line, or is it okay as long as he wasn't telling the joke in Aurora or the Denver metro area.
Well, you know, and I'm a big fan of Daniel Tosh. I don't care what anybody says. Judge me. I saw him live. He's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. His show is a little lame, but I don't care. People have given him endless shit. And again, he's a comedian. And actually, when I saw him live, he did a lot of that same sort of rape and abuse material.
Sure.
And every time he told a joke, it was almost annoying that he disclaimer that if you take it seriously or really rape or hit women, you're a dumbass and you shouldn't be at a comedy show. You should be in prison. And he said it repeatedly.
But that's what gets cut out of the little
exactly.
clips on YouTube. So Hooter, what did you think? I know your initial reaction, now that you've had a little bit of time to sort of sit with this whole thing, putting aside your hatred of Dane Cook, what are your thoughts?
Oh, yay. Dane Cook
yes.
hatred.
Well, I don't understand why anyone laughs at Dane Cook, other than the fact that he looks like a mongoloid. But here's my thing. I'm not a comedian, so please bear with me. You guys are performers, so I'm coming from a different world. If you're going to do that kind of material, then you have to allow yourself to be open up for this kind of criticism. That's only that's the only thing where I stand with it. It is, if you're going to do your routine and you're going to step in and do current events and you're going to play with fire, I guess is the best way to say it, then you've got to expect this kind of backlash, well, whether it's warranted or not.
And I don't think he cares any more than Daniel Tosh cares. If anything, it's publicity. You do the jokes because you want people to react. I don't think it's everyone else that has any issue with it. I bet he doesn't have any issue with it besides,
well,
butt sore, so I'll apologize because it's the right thing to do.
Well, actually, he this is why he's a douche. He was quick to get on Twitter and apologize like a crazy person after it started getting viral. So, I mean, he didn't even have to stand up and say, oh, yeah, I was just being funny. He was all very apologetic because he thought he had done wrong all of a sudden because bad publicity for him was bad.
No. I don't agree with that. I think he told the joke in an L.A. comedy club, never expecting it to leave the comedy club in L.A. Once that joke got out there so quickly to specifically the people in Colorado, I think he did feel bad about the fact that they heard the joke so quickly. You got to remember, when you're working out a routine like this, something that's just happened, you're going to tell that joke 500 times in 500 small rooms because it may be in a special or it may be in a TV show or a bigger show that you're doing 8-9 months down the line when enough time has passed that it's not going to be such a sore subject. But you have to start out somewhere with your material. That's the whole
thing.
Yeah,
but when you got that kind of name, when you go into any room and they see you, someone's going to pull out a phone and start recording. Wow. You've just got to expect that. I mean, if you're a nobody and you're doing that material, then you can hide behind it a little bit easier. But if someone's like, oh my God, Dane Cook's here.
Well, I think
every concert, every show I go to now, everywhere, it's recorded and I can watch it when I get home. The quality isn't always that great, but that's just the nature of the beast. It's the world we live in now.
Right. And I think what that's going to lead to is in small rooms like this is you're going to get bigger comedians that are going to come in and they're going to have security go through and take away people's phones. Like, if you want to stay, you have to turn in your phone and we'll give you a check for it. That's the next thing that's going to come from all of this, because you shouldn't have to, when you're working out material like that, you're never intending for that material to be worked out in front of the world. You're intending for it to be worked out in front of a small audience. And I know that's a little bit behind the craft of doing stand-up specifically. When you go into a small room or you're doing an open mic, you're working out, you're getting crowd reaction. And I found it interesting, the article that this was in talks about how I'm trying to find the exact wording of the whole thing here. So if you'll just give me a minute. Okay. Basically, it was along the lines of there was nervous laughter. I didn't hear any nervous laughter. I heard the room, not as one, but a majority of the room laughed. It's gallows humor. It's absolutely dark, but they saw the humor in it because we've all been in a situation where we've been sitting in something that we found boring or horrible and go, oh, somebody please shoot me. And then go to the extreme dark irony of someone bursting in and actually doing it. So it was it too soon for a wide audience? Absolutely. And I think that's what he was acknowledging, as opposed to, and I'm not a Dane Cook defender. I mean, I would, for any comedian, I would say the same thing. In that situation, you're never expecting it. If he rolls out on TV and does that joke, or he's on like a morning show somewhere and does that same joke, then yeah, he deserves a lot of the criticism, but I don't know that that sort of follows in this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to know your audience, and he was playing to that particular audience, not to a wide audience. I also think, though, if you second-guessed every joke, you'd never be able to do stand-up because...
Oh, yeah.
So everyone's going to have a problem with one freaking joke of every set.
That is in fact very true. All right, so that was Dane Cook's week. Mel, what did you do other than go to the theater this week that was exciting?
I went to Oakland and bought art.
I went to Oakland.
It was the weirdest yet coolest experience. Paul has a friend who's an artist.
Okay.
And he invited us to come look at his art, but I didn't know what to expect. I was like, is it an opening? Is it going to be in a gallery? Is it going to be wine and cheese? No, this guy lives like in a weird big white room and there was thousands and thousands of paintings that he has done over 1,000,000,000 years. And there was like one fat guy on the couch and there was some weird wine and we walked in and there was marijuana plants growing outside.
Okay.
And we went in. But the thing was, I really like this guy's art. It's really cool. And so we bought.
So is art. It, when you say art, do you mean like paintings or sculptures or what are you talking about?
It's all on canvas or paper, but it's not. Some of it's oil painting, some of it's pen and charcoal and different mediums, but flat.
Okay.
And so we bought three oil paintings. Actually, we bought two oil paintings and he threw in this one that Paul had an eye for that has a vagina in it.
Sure it does.
So
Paul has a good eye.
It's called Serving Pastries, but we just call it the pussy painting because that's nice. What it looks like to us. It's not what it looks like. It's a woman, I think, serving pastries off of her nude body, but it's all nice. Sort of abstract.
Okay, very good.
So and then we went to the outlets on the way back, of course, and I got a new pair of Merrell hiking boots shoes for my upcoming vacation.
That's right, going back to Ohio.
No, but these are for our Costa Rica trip that we're planning.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we're planning a trip. And then
I'm getting your vacations mixed
you're
up.
You're getting my vacations.
You've been hanging
mixed
out
up.
With Larry too much. You're taking multiple vacations now.
I know my work is getting all unsettled about it and shit. By the way, you guys can all fuck yourselves. I'm going on vacation, whether you like it or not.
Well, to be fair, like about a month ago, you were saying about how you were losing vacation time because you hadn't taken it. So
I have to take a day every pay period. And I asked for vacation for December. That's like 5 months away. And they're hemming and hawing. I guarantee you not one other person in my unit has asked for a goddamn day off for December as of this moment. So I'm taking that day. I'm going to buy the tickets and they can kiss my ass and fire me if they don't like it. I'm going to Costa Rica, people. Support me.
Message to Mel's coworkers. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah, F you.
I'm going to Costa Rica, people. So I got cool pink and purple Merrell barefoot style hiking shoes.
Barefoot style? They don't have like the separate toes, do they?
No, but they're the same sort of theory that you're using your muscles and walking as if you're in bare feet, but they're just like regular looking shoes.
Okay, cool. Hooter, I know you have a story of your week. Why don't you join the fun and tell us about your anecdote.
Well, yeah, I wish this was next week because then I could tell you I went and saw Neil Diamond and went to a baseball game because that's what I'm doing next week.
Oh, I love Neil Diamond so much.
I do too. I wish my wife loved him as much as I do. So, but she's a trooper and she's
that's
going.
That's Tom Jones now.
Oh, shit. I was listening to Tom Jones this morning, so that was in my head. I whenever I try to sing, I do that. Didn't I do that once before?
Yeah, she's going, I love
oh,
Neil
Diamond. I did Tom Jones. I do
love
like,
Neil Diamond and then she starts singing Tom Jones.
Write the songs that make the
Barry Manilow.
Damn it. Let me try again. Wait. God damn it.
Some of your favorite pop songs have been written by Neil Diamond as well as
fuck
other
it.
Songs.
I'd like to say I'm tired and distracted, but I'm not. I'm just a retard.
just
sorry.
Are you a fan?
All right,
are you a fan of Red Red Wine by UB40?
I saw UB40.
If anybody is keeping track, by the way, we're 14 minutes into the show, and we have a mongoloid and a retard, and I didn't say either one of them.
I'm just
recapping. So I'll be joining you at the baseball game. So go ahead with what happened this past week, and we'll look forward.
This past weekend was more of a quiet weekend. The wife works on weekends, so oftentimes I've got to find entertainment for myself.
Caroline. Am I there?
There you
finally.
Go.
Finally.
There you
woo!
Go. There you
it was
go.
Bugging me. Okay. I'm sorry. Proceed.
So one of my favorite things to do on the weekends is, and I'm not doing this to plug, this is just how it happens. On Sunday nights when I go grocery shopping at the Safeway across the street from where I live, I'm listening to the Nate Darling Show while I walk through Safeway. And I will usually text Nate once every couple of weeks and just say, yes, it happened again. I'm laughing like an idiot in the middle of Safeway because of something you guys said.
It's true.
Well, this week I wasn't laughing. This week was even more just, wow, amazing meta. I'm at the checkout line, the self-checkout line. I'm swiping things. I'm listening to you guys. And all of a sudden, a woman, a hobo, missing teeth, approaches me and starts asking me questions. And of course, I'm still listening to you guys in my ears going, what am I? And because I have this rule, like, dude, can't you see I got headphones? Just leave me alone.
No, they don't care.
Exactly. So I'm listening, kind of, I see like what looks like a debit card in a sheet or something. And this, as I'm listening to you guys. And finally, all of a sudden, this like prophecy comes through me, and I'm like, Nate Rant. I just look at her and go, no, I can't help you. Get away from me. And I go back to paying for my goods. And she walked away, and it was awesome.
Good for you.
I never say get away from me. I just go.
No, but I've heard you rant enough, so that's just immediately. Yeah. That's the mood. I was like just channeling you. I was just bringing it all back.
It would have been supremely meta if I would have been on a hobo rant at that very moment.
That's what I thought he was going to say.
Sorry, two out of three.
What are the odds of me being on a hobo rant at some point?
Pretty good.
No.
There was a guy waiting outside the theater so he could hit every single person that left the theater tonight.
Of course.
Because you have to go through little thin gates to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a smart... He's like one of those guys who like traps fish in like narrow points in the stream because he knows they can't get away.
It's the bears doing the salmon thing.
Yeah, except for bears are natural. That's all. I mean, bears are natural, and salmon have a fighting chance.
This was an unnatural hobo.
Yeah, it's not like you're going to be able to jump over the hobo. You're just going to just like, I have to spawn away with you.
Have you seen my vertical? It's pretty amazing.
I've heard about Larry's vertical. Did you do you do it when you spread your legs when you jump? Fucking
idiot. I don't do it like a gay unicorn.
Larry, God, you know the key to jumping high, spreading your legs when you jump. No, that's just the key to creating more clearance underneath you. That doesn't get you any higher off the ground. If you literally do the splits and don't drop at all, you'll have like a 30-inch leap, even though you haven't left the ground, really.
So on a totally unrelated note, so Nate has the TV on in the background, and there's Olympic song, and Bob Costas just came on. I find these days Bob Costas always looks like he's just like drank a Mountain Dew or taken meth. His eyes are always really wide, and he always looks just a little bit shaky on the verge of a freak out. Have you noticed that?
He's getting older.
Yeah, actually, I have the Olympics on too, and the missus is quite obsessed with Bob Costas' hair. He died.
That's a rug. I mean, right?
I think it is.
That's got to be a rug.
I think it's more hair color for men than anything else.
I don't know. Dude,
I think
pushing,
that whole front middle is not real.
He's pushing 70, and his hair looks the same as it did 30 years ago. There is something going on that's not natural there, and I think it's more than just coloring.
I know we're going to talk about the Olympics here in a little bit, but just to get it out there, Matt Lauer and Meredith Vieira have no business speaking in the Olympics.
What?
They should both be punched in the face.
Okay, we'll get to that later. That's a good tease. So that's the end of your story. My story is one I told a little bit on the on-demand super show this past week that we recorded over the weekend. We almost didn't have a show because the computer that we're looking at Hooter on right now, and he's looking at us on, died on Friday night.
Oh, no.
It died. Like, hard drive failure died. And I died a little inside at that point. Aww. Because I had been wandering around for the past 2 weeks going, you know, I really should time machine my Mac. You know, it's been a while since I backed it up. I really should do that. Literally for 2 weeks, that's been in my head. Did I do it? No, I did not. So the last time I'd done it was January. So I am 6 months back. And I was able to salvage the machine because my initial thought is, oh, fuck, I'm going to have to go buy a new computer. Because I have two podcasts that have to get out every week, and I can't do it without this computer. It's necessary. It's as necessary as my microphones. We can't do it without it. We just can't. And especially the On Demand Super Show, because we do it like this through the Google Plus Hangout, and we're in three different cities. And so I was literally up till 4 o'clock in the morning trying to see what I could do to salvage it. And finally, I was able to boot it off of the install disk that came with OS X for Mac. And then I fire up the disk utility. I know I'm getting inside a little bit, but I'll get through it really quickly. And it says, okay, click here to identify errors. I'm like, okay, great. Click it. And it says, you have these errors. Click here to fix the errors. And I'm like, all right. Click here to fix the errors. Wait about 2 minutes. It's like, doom, doom, doom. These errors cannot be fixed. Motherfucker! It's like 3 a.m. I've been up since 6:30 the day before. I'm on like 21 hours at this point, and I'm just like, what the fuck am I going to do? But I ended up having to erase the hard drive completely and reinstall the operating system, and then I was able to take the Time Machine back up from January. And the way Macs work, you can just bring your Time Machine back up, and basically it's like my Mac traveled back in time to the last time I backed it up, which was January. So I did lose a few things, not a ton, because my music gets uploaded to something called Google Play, and it does it automatically because I had bought the new Gaslight Anthem album right after work on Friday, and I'm like, fuck, I was sure I had lost it, but when I checked Google Play, it had automatically uploaded there, so I was able to pull it back down. So that's pretty cool. So if
any of that happened to me, I'd be like, I don't fucking know.
It's so hard because
all I know how to do is turn the computer on and off.
Seriously, your first thing that you do is your first instinct is to shit yourself.
Yeah.
And your second instinct
is
to just swear. And then you're like, what the fuck do I do? I don't know. I have friends who know computers, but they only know Windows machines. They don't know this. And so, but I was able to get through it, and I've ordered a new hard drive, which I will be installing as soon as it arrives. So the 5-year-old hard drive that's 90% full will be replaced with a brand new hard drive that will be 20% full when I'm ready to go. But that was my Friday night.
That sounds amazingly not fun.
Oh my God. And then Saturday we had the In Your Facebook show at the Sacramento Comedy Spot, which we had two guest performers that I had never performed with before. Bailey and
Chris.
I was going to forget his name. I remember his beard, his manly beard. So we did the show, and it was just so much fun. It was one of the most fun improv shows we've ever done. And I just want to thank everybody because it was just so fantastic to have that nice of an experience.
Chris is great, by the way, isn't he?
I thought he was fantastic.
I mean, he's a full-time ACL now.
Oh, okay. That means nothing to anybody else.
Oh, he's he went from being like nobody to instant main stage because he's that good and that nice.
He's very good. I ended up doing a few scenes with him, and I thought he was very, very good. But to go from yelling curse words at my computer at 4 a.m. to 8 o'clock that night, I'm having one of the most fun improv shows ever. That was just a huge swing in my wave of moods.
That's
for the
awesome.
Weekend.
Oh, and I sold my motorcycle.
I didn't know you were selling your motorcycle.
I've been toying with the idea for a long time, and Paul's been really pushing me because I just don't ride anymore, and the longer it doesn't get ridden, the less value it has.
Sure.
So I found a buyer. Unfortunately, it turns out the buyer is subpoenaed by our office to testify in a case later in the month.
Okay.
So I had to wait to actually make the sale to talk to the attorney to make sure that I wouldn't be unduly influencing a witness on a case, which I'm not. So now I can actually finish the transaction.
Well, that's a lot of convoluted stuff.
I know, but it's going to pay for a part of my Costa Rica trip. Yay!
Dun, dun, dun.
There you go. All right. So we mentioned the...
I got one question for you guys as an outsider looking in on improvers. Have you guys seen Trust Us With Your Life yet?
I have not.
All right. When you get a chance, check it out. I think they canceled it or they're yanking it off because the ratings aren't good, but it is hysterical to watch if you like that other game show they did with improving.
Who's Line? This one's
funny. Yes, exactly. It's got that Who's Line vibe, but it's cooler because they're learning stuff on the spot.
Somebody told me about it. Yeah.
Really, really can't stress it enough. Watch the Jerry Springer episode. The Ricky Gervais one was good, but the Springer episode is just mind-blowingly awesome.
Apparently, they touted it as long form, but it's not.
No, it's a lot like Whose Line, but without Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's more of a short form improv. And speaking of the Olympics, we have it on because if Larry were here, we couldn't, because he's so easily distracted by everything. He's more easily distracted than my cats.
It's true.
So we've got some tiny preteens tumbling and doing all that jazz. Although
I love it. I watch the beach volleyball, though. That's what I really enjoy.
Oh, me too. Ladies beach volleyball?
I like the guys.
Of course. So Olympic thoughts.
I mean, I like it all.
So it's time for Olympic thoughts, or as I like to call it, do you care like a champion? Mel, you were saying about Meredith Vieira and Matt Lauer. What's your deal with those guys?
I hate them.
Okay.
So much. And Matt went to my college, so I should have some amount of loyalty. And you know, the thing is, I don't hate them in general. I think they serve a purpose. The Olympics isn't it.
Okay.
You know, I watched the opening ceremony. I like Danny Boyle. I'm mad at him. It was awful and weird and stressful and upsetting. The whole thing. But they kept cutting away, and Meredith Vieira said some of literally the... It was as if I was doing it, because, you know, I never edit, and I say the stupidest shit. She just kept saying stupid, pointless, weird things all the time, and you just want to go, shut the fuck up!
Now, are you sure she wasn't just literally describing what she was seeing in front of her? Because that seems to be a good description of the opening ceremonies.
She was making, like, random offhanded comments, and at one point she made like a joke about the queen that was like awkward, and at one point she was singing along with the soundtrack, and Matt finally had to go like, really? And she was like, oh, sorry, I'm just enjoying myself. I'm like, shut up.
You have to remember, Meredith Vieira hasn't been on TV in a while. She's just done Millionaire because she's been off the Today Show for about a year now.
And do they not do the Barbara Walters show anymore? Or is she not on that
anymore?
Oh,
no, she hasn't been on that in forever.
I don't know.
Yeah, she quit that to do Today.
She was awful. They were awful. The opening ceremonies were awful. But that being said, I like the Olympics a lot, and I love watching everything.
I believe it was Stephen Colbert that described the opening ceremonies as a tribute to landscaping.
I mean, they did a tribute to their national health care.
No, no, they did everything. And we saw most of it except for where they cut away to Ryan Seacrest interviewing Michael Phelps for NBC. By the way, why is Ryan Seacrest on?
And why is his hair so high all of a sudden?
Well,
we hired him. That's why he's on.
There's something about Mary is what's going on with his hair. But, okay, Seacrest does New Year's Eve for ABC. He does American Idol for Fox, and now he's doing NBC Sports.
He's part of the NBC family now. My guess is he has his eyes set on Matt Lauer's job whenever Matt decides he doesn't want to do the Today Show anymore.
I don't know.
That's just inside speculation. You know what? Speaking of the opening ceremonies, I totally ignored all the weird, crazy crap. Didn't hear one thing of what Matt Lauer or
Meredith
said.
That was the cat, not me, by the way, that just smashed into the microphone. I'm just sitting here minding my own business.
I've got two big ones that do that as well all the time. What I found the most fascinating about it, and this drove my wife crazy, and she wanted to stab me while we were at dinner watching it. I was totally mesmerized by learning about all the countries and how many people live there during the parade of people. It was just some weird, stupid encyclopedia thing flashing in front of my eyes, and I just kept going, Tunisia's got that many people? That's so cool.
Oh, they just had the Tunisian basketball team, by the way, getting autographs from the U.S. Team USA.
Well, to be fair, I mean, you would want Kobe Bryant to interview your sneaker after he just kicked your ass.
It's kind of cool.
This is true.
I mean, that is reminiscent of the Dream Team.
How about the random lady that walked with India's delegation?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Well, who's to know, because there's so many Indians out there.
She was just like in street clothes.
Okay.
No, it was totally like photobomb. She just happened to get in there. Yeah.
She was one of the opening ceremony like cast members, and she just wanted to walk with her country. They're mad at her, by the way.
Oh, of course. Why wouldn't they be? So Hooter, what are your other thoughts about the Olympics? Because you mentioned the encyclopedic knowledge of how many people live in a country.
That was the fun part. And then I don't know, like, even what I've learned, which is weird, like, we live in this age where we find out everything like way before it's on TV, so that should make it suck, but for some reason it doesn't. You still want to watch it on TV. Like, I'm looking at this gymnastics crap and I already know what happens, but I'm still like, oh wow, this is fun. And I don't know why, which is so weird. It's this bizarro world that you live in during the Olympics. And then the other night when I was watching the gymnasts, when they were doing the prelims or whatever the things where they decided who's going to be in the finals, and the one American girl's parents were up watching her routine, and they're basically swaying back and forth, and they're calling it the whole time because they've seen it a million times. So they're sitting there, and they're on the edge of their seat, and they're moving back and forth, and they're saying this, and they're going ooh and ah, and then it became this huge thing online that everybody was tweeting about, and that was just extremely memorable. And the other really cool thing that I just totally blew me away is this whole Missy Franklin story. Like, this girl is awesome for what she does. She's a 17-year-old who says, screw you, I'm not going to some rich bitch academy to learn how to swim. I'm staying at my high school and I'm going to swim with my coach. And she goes out and breaks all these records. And then she also is turning down all the endorsement money so she can stay swimming on her high school team. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when she goes to her next high school swim meet and the girl lining up next to her in the blocks is just like, hey, it's a gold medal girl. That's screwed. So, I don't know. I've totally had a blast with this Olympics, which I was not expecting.
People are really mad, though, about, I mean, they're doing their own spoilers on their own show.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Hooter mentioned it a little bit. It's not so much necessarily knowing the result. It's you want to see how it got there. The Olympics are about pageantry. And like I've had baseball. I'll go to baseball because I have the baseball package. And I've had instances where I've had a game sort of quote unquote ruined for me. Where I'll find out something happened, but I still want to go back and see how they scored all the runs.
Yeah.
So I'll go back and watch the highlights. But with the Olympics, you don't necessarily have that sort of functionality a lot of the time. So you just sit down and watch the Olympics because it's something to put on. And I mean, what else are you going to? Are you going to watch Dance Moms again? Mm. Seriously. I mean,
I like it. There's been a lot of things that have been very confusing and upsetting. Like, I was watching the thing about the fencing woman. And I didn't understand how that happened or why that happened or how come when they argued it that she still lost when they knew it was their mistake. And there's been a lot of those sort of things where I'm like, or they overturned somebody else finishing swimming and they say they didn't win. Now they say they did win. It's like, shouldn't this stuff be sort of hammered out before the Olympics?
Well, there was something like that with men's beach volleyball. One of the U.S. teams beat a Spanish team. There was a spike on the Spanish side. It hit the U.S. player like in the chest and on the arm, and that should have been a double hit, but it wasn't called. So that ended up the U.S. ended up getting the point and winning the match, and the guy from Spain was very angry because they are a hot-tempered people.
I saw that.
So
did you guys see the thing with the men's gymnastics thing, which was crazy?
No. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
That they messed up a million times?
Well, that, but no, there's apparently this rule where if you want to dispute it, like you know, in football when you got a challenge, you got to throw the red flag. Well, in gymnastics, if you dispute it, you have to go over and you have to pay them to review it.
Everybody's been doing that.
Yeah, so like this, like they're sitting there on TV yesterday, and this guy walks over and he's handing the judge a $100 bill to like check. You know, it's like, oh no, I'm disputing this call.
$500.
Yeah, and then it ended up being they ended up winning the silver medal over Great Britain, and it was just like, how crazy is it? We live in this world where you go pay the judge to do the instant replay. That was just, I don't know. There's all
that's what happened to the fencing girl, and they had to get the money, and she had to stay on the court because if she leaves the field of play, she can't challenge, so she has to sit there. And then they still said she lost, even though their clock timed wrong.
Hmm. I don't know. My biggest complaint about the Olympics so far is the women's beach volleyball team said they were going to stick to the bikini because that's who they were. And I turn it on and they're wearing full-length spandex. And I'm like, you lying sandy bitches.
It's cold.
I don't care. Don't come out and say you're going to do it in bikinis and then roll out in your full-length spandex.
The Argentinian women did stick with the bikinis.
Yes.
They lost, but they stuck with the bikinis, and for that I applaud
them. You got to keep the muscles warm.
They should get the gold for that.
Yeah, absolutely. They should. I'm on that side. All right, moving on from the Olympics, a Las Vegas man is in jail for attempted murder, and his weapon of choice is a little bit different. It included a toilet lid.
Oh, we've had that before.
I know. Police say Ronald Hetzel, 41, allegedly broke into a neighbor's home on Saturday morning by opening a window and then struck the owner over the head with a wooden guitar. and a porcelain toilet bowl lid during a confrontation.
Did he bring that, or was it there? It's what I want
to
know.
The encounter began after police responded to a complaint about a man throwing objects in his own house. When they arrived on the scene, they saw a man later identified as Hetzel sitting on the curb shirtless and screaming, according to KNTV TV. Officers say they tried unsuccessfully to calm down the suspect, and when that failed, they tried to contain him. That's when he jumped the back fence into a neighbor's yard, broke through a window, and entered the home. So... I blame the police on this one. I think it's all their fault.
They chased him over there.
When I first read this story, it sounded to me like a hardcore rules wrestling match. when I heard wooden guitar and toilet bowl lid, I'm like, oh, that's a hardcore match from the 90s from the WWF.
Here's what you got, man.
Yeah, I mean, it was just strange. Crazy from the heat.
I like
this. This is why I don't talk to my neighbors ever.
That's a good policy to have.
I am a most unneighborly person. I don't know any of their names, and I'm glad.
Every time you read these stories, though, I always just want to know, like, more. Why? Well, did you go there with a toilet seat? Were you mad at this guy in the first place? Is that why you ran there? Did you just run there to beat somebody up in general because you were mad at the police? What's going on?
I think the answer wouldn't satisfy you, because the answer is always crazy.
I know.
Cop question for Mel. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's the weirdest weapon that you ever had to encounter when you were on patrol? Like, since we're talking about the toilet seat, or did you ever find a guy like wielding a rake or some weird crap like that?
God, I had a guy assaulting a guy with one of those orange pylons.
With like a traffic cone?
Yeah, a traffic cone.
Nice.
And he was smacking him with it, but it was weird because they're kind of floppy, really.
Yeah.
But he was, yeah, that's all I can think of off the top of my head. Somebody beating somebody with a pylon.
That's funny enough to envision. That's just crazy.
Yeah. Drunk guy just beating the hell out of his friend with a pylon.
More crime news. This comes from Illinois. While a television and other valuable items were left untouched, a bag containing various sex toys was taken from a residence last Monday. The victim was away over the weekend for a convention in Las Vegas and returned home. And she said when she got there, she realized that a pink Adidas bag containing sex toys and antibiotics had been taken. That's an odd combination to have in one bag.
Seconded.
It just really is. Apparently, she sells sex toys for a living, and she needed to take inventory to see what items had been stolen.
I bet you $1 million that the thief was a teenager.
Who needed antibiotics?
Who needed sex toys?
I have a really bad infection. Neighbors in the area told police they hadn't seen any unusual activity and there were no signs of forced entry or visible damage. Police are continuing to investigate on that one. So, mystery dildo?
Oh, my God.
It makes me wonder?
What does it make you wonder?
Since she sells them, did she, like, take them to Vegas for her own personal use and then, well, oh, no, I came home and they were stolen. Honest.
Odd insurance claim.
It would get you out of hock with your company. Be like, look, I had all of the samples, but somebody broke in and stole them and my antibiotics out of my pink Adidas bag.
Wow.
And nothing else in my house. So
I'd be so confused if I came home and that was all that was missing.
I know.
Where's my vibrator?
where's my vibrator and my penicillin?
Yeah.
I need them both. I have
then I need for the disease that I got from not using the vibrator.
Yeah, it's craziness. Now, from criminals on the loose to criminals in jail or trying to get out of jail or trying not to, Rodney Dwayne Valentine had just been granted his freedom from Rockingham County Jail in North Carolina, but he refused to leave prison. So police did what they had to do, and they arrested him for trespassing and sent him back to his cell.
Guess he doesn't have to pay for a hotel.
What sort of retarded rodeo is that?
It's awesome.
You're free to go. I don't want to go. If you don't go, we're going to arrest you for trespassing. Okay.
Did he not want to go, or did he just not want to ride in a cab?
No, he didn't.
Because I know people that won't ride in things that they're not piloting.
Yeah.
Or cheap.
Well, there's that. But the newspaper reports that he refused to leave the jail site after authorities declined his request for a ride to the local motel. So he asked them for a ride.
He wanted them to provide it free of charge.
But when they said, no, you should take a cab, then he refused. And when he hadn't left the premises by the afternoon, they charged him with second degree trespassing. Now he's
Nate,
being.
Nate, this is insider baseball, but do you really think this is something Ken Drake would do?
Ooh, I can't picture him making it through a day in jail. Honestly, it's someone we both know.
Who's extremely cheap.
He is incredibly cheap too. It's true. He would have run to the hotel, I think, because
this is true. He would have.
He's a jogger. He would have run to the motel, stopped at the McDonald's drive-through, and eaten a quarter pounder on the way. So now he's being held on a $500 bond, not Ken. This is Mr. Valentine. He awaits a scheduled court appearance on August 9th. So, yeah, that's some craziness. And you know
the
what?
The judge is going to be so annoyed with that.
I know. So, Mel, yes. Help me out here. It's time for the original segment on our show. It's time for...
Cool!
Hey!
Tool.
Whoa! All right, and Cooler Tool is brought to you by our Amazon page. Hey, if you're going to shop on Amazon.com anyway, please go through NateDarlingShow.com. And we've got some cool new stuff on the website, too. I can't play this music the whole time. I just realized that.
But I like it.
Well, play it for a minute. The cool new stuff on the website is now you can just press play in any of the posts because we have a player built into each one of our posts. So you can listen to our songs without going, our podcast without going out to something else. And this is the other cool thing. There is a new Amazon search feature right when you log on. It's on the right side of the page. You can search for products on Amazon without ever leaving our page. And it'll give you results. And then you can click through to those. If you decide to buy something, we get a little taste from Amazon. It doesn't cost you anything extra. You tried it out, Mel. What did you think?
Oh, yeah. It's so much easier. Like, I'm so tech disabled, and I find the site even easier now. I like it.
Yeah, it's great. When I finally figured out how to do that, because I've had like a technological breakthrough in my brain over the past 10 days. So, yeah, go ahead and do that. And if you've been buying stuff on Amazon through our site, thank you so very much.
You're welcome.
It does. Yeah, for me too. But it does help us take care of things like the domain name, the hosting, and everything else that goes into building a podcast. Including the
my rider for the just brown M&M.
There's that. And, you know, like the new hard drive I'm going to have to buy. That's, you know, that's going to either come out of my pocket or it's going to be offset a little bit by what we get from Amazon. So thank you if you're doing that. And if you're not, please, come on. We're giving you a free show every week. And actually, two, because the on-demand super show as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got that going on. All right. So let's...
You know, I never noticed that gymnasts really do have perky butts. My wife brought this up earlier, and I never noticed it. Now all of a sudden, all I can see is perky butts.
Well, yeah,
it's all muscle. Of course,
yeah, they're nothing. Their legs are nothing but muscles all the way up to their midsections.
I just keep looking at this one, going, "Wow, she'd be a great stripper." And I never had this feeling before while watching gymnastics, but now thanks to my better half, I do.
Yeah, they're not really of age, but okay. All right, first up in Cooler Tool this week, the Las Vegas guy for his innovation in attack weapons. Mel, what do you think?
Well, I never condone violence, but I say if you're going to hit someone, use something interesting. And toilet seats seem to be one of my favorites. Every time you do a story with it, I'm happy. So I got to go cool just because I think it's hilarious. But I do feel bad for the guitar, and shame on him for hurting a perfectly good guitar.
Sure. Hooter, what do you think?
Tool. Any uninvited guest, it doesn't matter if what your weapon of choice is. You're a tool. If you come into my house, and especially if you knock at my door, I hate you.
Oh, by the way, if you listen to the On Demand Super Show this week, there's a special someone who comes and visits and knocks at my door in the middle of the freaking show.
Awesome.
But I'm not going to talk any more about it other than
that.
Do they have
a pamphlet?
Tell them the question. Are you? That was the best part.
Oh, no. Wait, listen to the On Demand Super Show. It's in there.
All right.
What a tease.
It is. You know what? His innovation is kind of cool, but the fact that he's sitting out on the curb shirtless and he launched into his attack after the police showed up,
that makes him all the more awesome
for running from the police. I'm going to go Tool on this one. So
he's 100% full entertainment value.
Sure. Well, I will give you that. It's true. All right, up next in Cooler Tool, number two, the chick for having a bag of sex toys. Hooter, why don't you start us off?
Cool, I guess. And anything that helps the TV from getting stolen, good job.
I don't think that's normally going to get your TV protected, but unless you know, I bet if you did Velcro use sex toys to your TV, it probably would keep it from being stolen, especially butt plugs. Because I think if you were to Velcro butt plugs to your TV, You know,
hey, who's got a good butt plug? Let's try one out.
Yeah, I had to get Larry into the show. I'm pretty sure no one would steal it. Mel, the chick with her bag of sex toys.
What I wouldn't give for a bag of sex toys. I mean, cool. Somebody who has a bag of sex toys is like a sister to me.
I was going to go cool until I saw that she had antibiotics in the same bag.
Safe sex, man.
No, that's not safe sex. That's just weird. That's just a weird mixing of things. You don't mix those things. I'm sorry. That half belch brought to you by Hell or High Watermelon from 21st Amendment Brewery. It's their wheat beer with a little bit of watermelon.
Ew.
That's actually really good.
I don't like the sound of it.
I don't like the sound of that either.
Well, fine. And finally, in cooler tool, the prisoner for finding a way to get his way and stay in jail. Mel, cooler tool.
Well, the cheap Jew in me says cool because he should have gotten a free ride. But knowing how gross it is in jail, I'm going to say tool because I would pay the money to just not have to spend another night in jail because it's yucky.
And you'd know jail.
I know jails.
Hooter, your thoughts?
Cool. I always applaud stubbornness.
I know you do.
He also avoided paying for the cab fare and paying for rent by getting there back in jail. So, yes, good man.
Yeah, he's not going to have to pay rent for a while because he will, in fact, be in jail. You know what? I'm going to go cool because he outwitted the system. In a weird, retarded way, he outwitted them. And they're like, no, you have to go. Nope. Not going. I'm staying here. Nope, you're going. Nope, staying here.
Yeah, but you know, who gets the last laugh, really, when you have to stay in jail? Jail's yucky and dirty. Yeah.
Who gets the last laugh?
The guy who's had his eye on him the whole time he's been there.
Exactly.
Ooh, jinx.
There we go.
That means you owe me a Crunchwrap.
I don't know what that is, but we can try.
Next time I'm in Sacramento, I will do that.
Yay.
I won't tell Paul that we're doing the Crunchwrap if you don't.
Okay.
Because he might get jealous if we do.
They're my favorite.
All right. So now we move on. We promised a story about poop.
Do you know what I just realized?
What's that?
Things are different in here. The clock, my usual clock is not where it goes.
Well, that's because my cat's knocked it over and knocked the battery holder off the back, so I can't have it up. Sorry.
Oh.
Wah, wah. Human waste shuts down BART escalators. This is a story from the San Francisco Bay Area. Yeah, it's true. It's unfortunate.
I'll let you explain this, but at the end of it, they said they don't know how to solve the problem. I have a solution.
Oh, I do too. When work crews pulled open a broken BART escalator at San Francisco's Civic Center station last month, they found so much human excrement in the works that they had to call a hazardous materials team. While the sheer volume of human waste was surprising, that is a phrase you never get to utter. Its presence was not. Once the stations closed, the bottom of the BART station stairwells in downtown San Francisco are a prime location for homeless people to camp for the night or find private places to relieve themselves. All of those biological excretions can gum up the wheels and gears of BART's escalators, shutting them down for long periods of extended repairs, increasing station cleaning costs, and creating an unpleasant aroma for morning commuters. 5 of the 9 escalators that weren't working at BART stations were in downtown San Francisco. That's according to a BART spokesman. While there are many reasons that a BART escalator can break down, the beating they take at night is among the most acute. Now, let me just repeat that. The beating they take at night, and they're referring to hobo shitting in the escalator. That's what they're talking about here. They're not talking about wear and tear. They're talking about hobos shitting in the escalator.
How do you do that?
Dude, it is the walking fucking dead at night down there by the Civic Center.
How does your poop go into the escalator? Do you poop on the stairs? Do you poop in the middle? How do you get your poop in the escalator? I just want to know.
Hobos poop and pee everywhere they want to. They just walk down the street doing it.
So they just walk to the bottom of the stairs on the escalator and then poop on the bottom step? Or, like, I don't get it.
I bet they have a game.
There are now,
like, to make the poop disappear.
To be fair,
hide the poop.
The escalators aren't hermetically sealed. I mean, there are openings.
I know, but there's not like a big hole that, like, you lean and go, like, here's like a toilet. I'm gonna poop in it. I would poop in a corner. I don't know. I'm like a dog. I'm just gonna poop in a corner. I'm not gonna poop on the escalator.
Dogs don't poop in the corner. They poop wherever they want because they're dogs.
But you know what I mean. I'm going to go for a little private spot in a corner. I'm not pooping in the middle of the open area on the escalator. I was curious about how they do it.
Yeah. Here's my best guess, and this is going to gross you out, Mel, so fair warning. My guess is they drop a giant deuce, and then they piss on it so it'll run down into the escalator. You're welcome. Now, there's not much that BART can do. The officials point out that they have little ability to change the reasons people camp at the base of the BART stairs or use the plaza as a public urinal. That's an issue highlighted in a recent Chronicle watch from the San Francisco Chronicle. To quote them, as much as we'd like to have an oasis from the rest of the world, we don't look at these issues in isolation. We look at them as part of a puzzle. I fucking hate puzzles. If I didn't hate puzzles before, I would hate puzzles now. I want to take a 1,000-piece puzzle and beat a hobo with it. BART officials have recently begun meeting with San Francisco authorities to explore ways of cleaning up the 16th Street Plaza. Conversations could easily evolve to encompass the downtown stairwells.
Okay, so
seriously,
what's the solution, Nate? Let's see if we're on the
Rudy
same page.
Rudy Giuliani is the solution.
You know, honestly, that's...
If you have a hobo problem, you bring in the man that makes hobos disappear like that.
Well, they're not going to disappear. They're going to go somewhere else. That's not what
I'm
talking
sure
about.
Killed all the hobos and threw them in
the
ocean.
River. I don't know
that
he did that.
Fucking crazy.
He is a little bit nutty, but he did turn Times Square from a cesspool into a Disney destination. So, yeah, it's... BART police say it's difficult to enforce laws banning bathroom use because they must witness the crime, but they're working with city officials to coordinate a response to cleanliness issues.
This is a stupid question because I do this sometimes, but...
You shit in an escalator?
Why can't the top of the plazas where the steps going down are, why can't gates be put in so people can't go down there?
Because they'll find a way to go down there. If you can't be there policing it, they'll find a way to go down.
Wouldn't that definitely lessen it if you put fucking gates up and lock them?
It might.
After the last BART of the evening?
It might, but as someone who is... Let me regale you with a story from our friend Moz, who is up from L.A., and he lives in Hollywood. He regaled us with a story of a guy. He's walking down the street, and this guy just pulls down his pants and lets fly with a barrage of diarrhea, like, on the street.
At the end of the day, that stuff is still going to happen. But
yeah, this is going
to
happen.
You're not going to stop all poopers from pooping. But the BART seems to be a very hidden. Those are very sort of underground, hidden, private areas where a lot of probably scary and dangerous things go on besides pooping. Why not just gate it? Close it.
The only other option is to police it better. And that's really, you've got two options. You can either close it off, or you can police it better.
The Civic Center is a hobo magnet, too, though.
Right.
That's the thing. I mean, I wasn't kidding earlier. I've been to so many shows at the Fillmore, and it's the walking fucking dead when you're getting a cab ride back to the Civic Center, which now I'm just petrified of walking down into now. But they let all of them camp there at night, and they're going to find their way down to the other. I guarantee you it's one of those things where we're not going to shit where we sleep. So they probably walk down the BART, take a shit, and then go back to the Civic Center and then go back to sleep.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. There's only so much you can do. And the problem becomes,
or why don't we just provide some freaking porta potties for people to actually use? Because I hate that all the bathrooms that are there you have to pay for in San Francisco.
Have you been in a porta potty, Mel?
It's better than somebody shitting in an escalator.
I don't know if it is. I really don't know.
I'm not saying that would be awesome and the perfect solution, but I mean, there are going to be homeless and they are going to have to poop.
If you're paying the prices to rent or lease real estate in downtown San Francisco that you're paying, do you want to have a blue porta potty or a green porta potty right out in front of the storefront that you're paying?
Those storefronts already smell like piss because people are peeing in front of them.
No, I understand.
Or sleeping
that.
In front of them.
I understand.
I mean, the hobos aren't going to go away, is my point. I don't know what the solution is, but they're not going to go away. So it seems like finding them a place to be and a place to poop would need to happen.
It's a double-edged sword because if you provide services for homeless people, then you are going to have a flock of homeless people.
Well, it's the same thing with giving condoms to kids or going to have sex or giving clean needles to drug users or going to use drugs. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it's not quite
people
the same
make
as,
those arguments.
It's not exactly the same as giving condoms to kids. It
but
really
people
is.
Say it is.
Well,
you give condoms to kids, that means it's a go-ahead to have as much sex as they want.
Well, those people are idiots.
Well, I know that.
So I just wanted to make that very clear. It's a complex thing because you want to provide services, but what you have is you have a group of mentally ill people and a group of people who are on various levels a danger to themselves, and you have a bunch of drug addicts that are essentially unpoliced in a frontier town of sorts of shitting in the escalator. And basically the only way that you're going to do anything to prevent that is to actually have a huge police presence in that area. It's going to need to be lit. It's going to need to have cameras and you're going to need to have a presence.
But they're
going to
poop somewhere.
No, I understand that. But there, maybe if you put porta potties down there, maybe if there's a place for them to do that in that area. But yeah, the fact that they've just accepted this as sort of a cost of doing business, that we're going to have to shut down the escalators to hose out hobo shit, is just unbelievable to me.
So gross.
That's just, oh, well, you know, that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Moving on to ice cream.
I like ice cream better than hobo poop.
I know. An ordinance that
you've
would
just completed the ultimate transition, by the way.
Thank you. I try. An ordinance that would allow ice cream trucks in Scottsdale, Arizona neighborhood was met mostly with criticism during an open house because people in Arizona are nuts. About 15 residents who attended the Tuesday session last week said they opposed the proposal to lift a decades-old ban on street vendors in Scottsdale. The proposed change in the city law, as currently written, would allow mobile vendors along residential streets as long as they serve prepared food that doesn't require heat. The law that would apply mainly to ice cream trucks, which are allowed in the majority of municipalities in Arizona. Scottsdale banned street vendors in the 70s because they had concerns they were selling illegal drugs. It's all about the drugs and the children and the drugs and the children and the drugs and the children, and then they can't get ice cream. So it looks like, and you're in fucking Arizona. It's 180 degrees every day. You're not going to let them have ice cream?
Apparently, go to the store.
Go to the grocery.
Ice cream trucks are creepy.
Go to the Dairy Queen.
The Dairy Queen? Okay.
I like Dairy Queen.
I don't know. I've never been to an uncreepy Dairy Queen. I'll say that. It's true.
Really?
Every Dairy Queen in the universe is creepy. All of them.
I'm a fan.
Even down to the advertisement with the mouth. It's just weird. So, Arizona's having an ice cream truck issue. You know where else is? New York City.
New York City?
Mm-hmm. It's not really summer if you're not complaining about ice cream, so says this article written by someone named Jen Dahl. Who obviously...
Stripper.
She mixed up her stripper name with her nom de plume. This year, they've already discussed the maddening song of the ice cream man and how it drives parents into a state of fury. And they've wondered... oh, dear God. Apparently, in New York, there's a turf war between Mr. Softy trucks and rival ice cream and frozen yogurt peddlers.
That's because those Mr. Softies are assholes. I don't know.
And flaccid. It got ugly fast, said 21-year-old Yogo frozen yogurt driver of a recent run he had in with a fuming team of Mr. Softy men on Madison Avenue. It sounds like he was raped.
It's just such a bizarre...
He had a run in with some Mr. Softy men.
Dude, it's the plot of The Wire. That's what's so fucked up about this. It's like they replaced heroin with ice cream.
Yeah, apparently everybody has their own corner, as it were, and when people interfere on the claimed territory of others, people get mad. So, season 1 and 2 of Breaking Bad, you'll see a little bit of this sort of thing.
Season 1 of season 2 and season 3 of The Wire, that's completely what it is.
Yeah, so anyway, according to the story, they're cutting off brakes with crowbars on each other's trucks. A Mr. Softy man supposedly pointed a gun at a fellow softy purveyor in Midtown and threatened to shoot him next time. These are two guys selling Mr. Softy. How much money is really at stake
big
here?
Big fucking money, apparently.
It's craziness.
Oh, corners in NYC, big time money. Big, big, big money.
Okay. Basically, they can make $1,500 cash on a good hot summer day. And, wow. if they impinge on each other's territories, that can get cut in half. So that's there's the two worlds of the maybe that's what Scottsdale, Arizona is looking to avoid. It's not the drugs. It's the ice cream turf wars.
Exactly.
In Scottsdale. Dun, 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 dun. Plus, my teeth are too old to eat anything that cold.
Oh.
I don't know what's going on. It's cold.
When was the last time either of you bought something from an ice cream truck? Just curious.
I don't think I've ever bought anything from an ice cream truck. Honestly.
Not since
I was...
Did
they even have ice cream trucks where you grew up?
They did not have them... they did not have them circling the streets. The closest thing that we had was... we had what was called the Schwann's Man. Did you have the Schwann's Man in Ohio?
No, but he goes to my neighbor's now.
Okay. The Schwann Man, if you don't know, sells Schwann's ice cream and other frozen things. And they're not cheap, but they're sort of like in bulk out of a frozen truck to people, like delivers to the home.
Yeah, I have a friend that used to date a Schwann's Man.
Oh, yeah?
They work on commission. They don't make much money.
Well, good to know. But no, I never bought anything out of a... out of an ice cream truck.
I did when I was a kid.
We had in Vermont, what you have is you have a lot of businesses that in the summer will have what they call a creamy stand. And it's just a soft serve.
Ew, that sounds disgusting.
It's just soft serve ice cream.
Sounds like jizz.
Like good ice cream with cream in it. Not crappy regular stuff.
Jizzy stand.
How dare you? How
I was
dare
at this,
you?
I was at this Halloween party when I was in like seventh grade, and it was like one of those Indian summers, so there were still ice cream trucks out, and the ice cream truck pulled up and it sold all the ice cream to everybody else except for the three of us that were sitting in the living room watching TV. And then all the kids came in with ice cream, and then the mom whose house it was at was like, "Did you check that? You know, it could be poisoned." And immediately there was a line to the bathroom and everyone was vomiting.
Oh, for God's sake.
That sounds urban legendy to me, man.
That sounds like...
No, man. No, dude. That would totally happen. I can call you. I can get the guy on the phone. What? It was the funniest freaking thing. Right after that, we tied some kid that was a mummy to a tree because we just undid his wrappings, and it was awesome.
Yes. Well, welcomed. He's from the village that's supposedly the setting for It's a Wonderful Life, by the way.
Ah.
Just if it gives you any idea. That's
and the
how,
home of women's rights, motherfucker.
That's yes, the home of women's rights, and It's a Wonderful Life. And they're telling children that their ice cream could be poisoned and tying them to trees.
Well, in my town, they did a Mom for Christmas movie.
They did a Mom for Christmas?
They made a movie called Mom for Christmas. I don't know. I think Olivia Newton-John was in it. So, I have no idea.
Wow.
Okay. I used to get push-ups as a kid, though. And on a side note, again, the Olympics still on. I've noticed that Michael Phelps's mother and sister always wear big, gaudy necklaces. Is there a reason? Is that so people see them when they're on TV? See, there's
Whoa,
his mom.
That's
see,
big.
His sister. Is,
well, I think
they always wear that, so it must mean something. I just don't know what. Because she got interviewed and was wearing that same shirt with that same red and gold thing.
That's Michael Phelps's sister you're talking about. I think it's because her neck is about 3 feet long.
Oh.
That's her. The mom, I don't know why she's wearing a giant... Eye of Ra or whatever she's wearing around her neck, but it's this giant reflective thing. I think it's to blind the other swimmers.
I guess
because she can.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you gonna do?
The weird thing is, his sister was interviewed. They were interviewed at their home by Seacrest, and she was wearing that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that's like that's my thing. Look, I have a thing.
I have a thing wearing gaudy jewelry.
Yeah.
Maybe she just has terrible taste, Mel. Do you ever think of that? You've hurt the feelings of the sister of an Olympian?
Even if she had terrible taste, you'd think she'd wear something ugly different each time. But it's always the same ugly thing.
Our greatest Olympian, the winner of the most medals in Olympic history, his sister.
I don't
sister.
Care for him.
I don't care. Is it because he smokes
Harry's
weed?
Harry's quite the douche.
Is it because he smokes weed or eats at Subway? Which is it?
Wow, you were the second person that said that exact quote to me.
Well, which is it, Mel?
It's neither of those things. It's just what Hootie said, which is he comes off as a total douche nozzle.
Okay.
What's funny is he's like this Michael Jordan of swimming, but then he looks like a special needs kid half the time when he's smiling.
He does have an Eli Manning vibe to him. I will give you that. I will absolutely give you that.
Are we back to mongoloid heads?
You had to go there.
I did.
You had to go there. All right. Well, it's been. I mean, we've thrown through the show pretty quickly. It's been fun. We've had the Olympics on. My cat Hef has been over watching a little of it.
Smacked my mic.
Yeah, he did that. Yanked on some cables, but we made it through the show, and that means it's time for small town news.
I love Small Town News, Small Town News. Everybody loves that Small Town News.
And, yeah, by the way, if you haven't checked out the On Demand Super Show, go ahead and do that. It's on our site, NateDarlingShow.com. And you can subscribe to it on iTunes as well. It's not on the same feed as we are, but I may put it on. I may put the new show on the same feed as ours this week so people can listen to the story about the knock at my door.
I want
to
know.
I know. It's crazy. So for our Small Town News this week, we go to Mexico. Maine.
Oh.
Mexico, Maine, where five people were evacuated for exposure to dry chemicals after a fire suppressant system malfunctioned at the Mexico Food Trend / Circle K Shell Station. Say that three times fast. Nozzles over the pumps in the fuel station canopy blasted out a huge cloud of Michael Phelps at 10:15 a.m. and then enveloped, that enveloped people and vehicles with something called Ansel Plus 50C. Fire and Medcare officials say
it's a retardant.
It
I
is.
Just wanted to add that
it is a sodium bicarbonate based dry chemical agent with chemical additives that can cause skin and eye irritation. But none of the people who were exposed had any symptoms because I think they were all old guys wearing those old guy baseball caps with the mesh in the back. You know, the ones with the snaps.
Oh yeah.
There was no fire or anything that set it off, said the police, the fire chief. I guess it was just a malfunction. Apparently, they're not going to bother to investigate because that's big town stuff.
These things happen.
The store manager declined to comment because he's smart. He's the smart guy in Mexico. He's like, I am not saying anything about anything. Go away. A Ford Ranger pickup, a Dodge Grand Caravan Sport minivan, and a Dodge Neon. Oh, that takes me back. These were blanketed in white powder. By the way, kudos to Mexico, Maine for buying American.
Yay!
Other vehicles parked in the convenience store nearby had powder on, and inside them, powder also covered a large area around the station canopy and the eastbound lane of U.S. Route 2 beside the station. Now, for people caught in the cloud, it was a frightening experience, initially touching off fears that fuel was on fire or that the suppressant powder was toxic.
Oh.
I miss your neon.
Yeah, I don't. I do a little bit, but it didn't have air conditioning, and I had to crank the windows down.
It had a bumper sticker that said question authority on it, and it made me feel rebellious every time I saw it.
It did.
Should I tell you my gas station story about my brother?
Yes, please.
Go ahead. Let me before you do, I want to explain the question authority bumper sticker. I had a guy that I worked with who was a middle manager who said, "What would you ask authority?" And I said, "What the fuck are you thinking?" And he just walked away because he had nothing. Don't ask me questions because I already have an answer for you. Like my high school teacher once asked, "You have an answer for everything, don't you?" And I said, "Yes." And then she got mad.
Was it Joe Crone?
It was not. No, it was not Joe Crone. He would have known better than that. It was a man named Andrew.
Oh, never mind. Yeah,
exactly. So Mel, your brother in the gas station?
So you know how they always say that women are the ones that drive off with the gas pump still in their car?
Oh, no.
My brother did it the other day.
Well done, sir.
I'm so proud of him.
Kudos to you.
Yeah.
Oh.
Did he at least take a picture?
I wish he would if he didn't. I think he was pretty horrified because people were screaming and yelling and they made him stop. And he, you know, they're made to break away, but I mean, it broke away.
All right. Oh, so,
God, I would totally do that if I did that.
So back to the story. Silas Sherry of Andover, who had just swiped his credit card at the pump, was about to fuel up his minivan, said he thought there was a fire. "I thought the thing was going to blow," Sherry said. "I put my card in, I took my card out, got the gas hose, and then it dumped on us. And I ran and left the gas hose down."
Time out. That's not how people sound in Maine. Do it right.
"There was an enormous cloud of smoke that must have been 50 feet in diameter. I've never seen anything like that in my life."
I love it.
I'll go back again. "I thought the thing was going to blow. I put my credit card in, I took my card out, I got the gas hose and then dumped down on us. And I ran and left the gas hose down. There was an enormous cloud of smoke that must have been 50 feet in diameter. I've never seen anything like it in my life." One woman who did not want to be identified said she stopped for fuel and put the air in her tires. "The smoke just rained down on us and you couldn't see anything. The smoke came everywhere. You had to get out because it was hard to breathe." Anyway, not a big deal.
Lovely.
Everybody's okay. I've now mocked the state of Maine where I...
Yeah, but your Maine accent is awesome.
I did spend a few semesters of college in Maine, a small town in Maine. St. Joseph's College, or as we called it, Camp JoJo's, the mistake on the lake. Not near Mexico. But that's small town news. Mexico, Maine. Good God. So we didn't get Vermont, but we did get we did get New England in there. Well, that was fun.
It was fun. I'm sleepy though.
Well, it is getting late.
It's late.
You and your music man.
I don't want to work tomorrow.
Well, take the day off. You've got the time.
I have to meet with a sexual assault victim. I know that's a fun way to end the show.
I got to meet with a sexual assault victim.
These things happen.
Tell him that you had to take the day off, and it's their fault. That's unfortunate.
They asked for it.
They asked for it. So there you go. It's a good show. Thank you for sitting in with us, Hooter. We appreciate it. For filling in for Larry.
You don't have to do a disclaimer next week, do you?
No, we should not have
okay.
to.
Yes.
I don't think his goal
succeeded.
His goal was to not have to do a disclaimer like we did when Noel said it.
Oh geez, yeah, no. We're good.
So it was good. Thanks, Mel, for hanging out late, because I know you're sleepy and you gotta drive back.
Thanks
home.
For your patience with me, guys, yeah, waiting so late.
Yeah, we do.
It has been an honor and a pleasure.
Well, we're both at home right now, so you're the only one who has to go anywhere.
I know.
So it actually works out pretty well. So that's going to wrap up the show for this week. Larry's in London for the Olympics next week, so hopefully I'll hear something from him at some point, and we can pass that along to you. I don't know, though. We'll see how that goes.
We have another super fun guest?
Chris Crotty from Comedy Sports Sacramento is coming in next week.
Yay!
He said he messaged me, said he had something he wants to talk about, and I said, all right, you free next week? Come on in, buddy. So he'll be sitting in with us next week for that. Gonna leave you this week with something off of my Rescued Gaslight Anthem album. It's a song called Handwritten. See you next week.
Bye.
Travels from heart to limb to pen.